The third to last shar, Yerach HaTzadikim, is the Shar HaTshuva. It is the largest, the longest shar in the Sefer, and there's a lot there. So usually when we learn the Shar of Yerach HaTzadikim, we go off on tangents, we discuss what other mafarshim say, we try to highlight certain points. Tonight, because we want to try to do the whole shar in one sitting, we're going to stick to the text of Yerach HaTzadikim. We are also going to skip some things. Because the Yerach HaTzadikim is written in the period of the Rishonim. And the topic for tonight is tshuva. And how we relate to tshuva in one generation is different than how we relate in a different generation. As we said on Sunday night, Monday morning, you know, the halacha does not change, but the way you practice the halacha, the way the situation, the generation may change, it may be different. And in this shar, there are very, very harsh, very, very intense statements about tshuva and aveira and sin and how one goes about to rectify that and to fix it. And a lot of it speaks to us here in 2021. It's no different. But a good amount of it is not for our dar. It's not for our generation. It wouldn't fit. It's very, very extreme. It's very, very, very intense. I'll tell you a beautiful vart that I enjoy very much from Rav Yecheskel Abramsky. Rav Yecheskel Abramsky was a rav in Russia, then he moved to London. He was a rav in London, then he eventually made Aliyah to Eretz Yisrael. And he notes that when it comes to the construction of all the pieces of the Mishkan, everything is the same for Moshe Rabbeinu. The Aaron of Moshe Rabbeinu is the same Aaron in the Beis HaMikdash. And the menorah of Moshe Rabbeinu is the same menorah in the Beis HaMikdash. It's all the same. It's all the same stuff. There's one thing that Moshe was told to make that you're not allowed to use in future generations. That is the chatzotros. The chatzotros are the horns that were used to call Bnei Yisrael to battle or to call them to meeting. It's how Moshe would communicate with Bnei Yisrael. That was like the PA system in the time of Moshe Rabbeinu. So the halacha is that the chatzotzos, the horns that Moshe made, can't be used in the next generations. You have to make new, every generation, you have to make new chatzotzos, new horns, to communicate to the people. So Rav Yecheskel Abramsky explains why. And he says, the Torah is the same. The Torah that we learn today, that we're going to learn tonight, is the same Torah from Moshe Rabbeinu. It's the same Torah from Rabbi Akiva. It's the same Torah from the Vilna Gaon and the Baal Shem Tov, it's the same Torah. But what's different is how you communicate it to every generation. What was useful as a way to communicate an idea, you know, 20 years ago, is not useful for this generation. And what was useful to communicate an idea to your grandparents, your great-grandparents, that way to say it over, that way to teach it, it's not the same way. If you have a teacher who's been teaching the same way when they started teaching 30 years ago, and they're teaching the same way now, what that means is that they're communicating in a way to a generation that's not going to hear the way they talk. So the chatzotros, the way that Moshe Rabbeinu would speak to Bnei Yisrael, would communicate to them, that works in their generation. And every generation needs a different way, a different path, a different way of communication in order to get that Torah across. So the Torah stays the same, but the way you communicate it is different. So the same thing tonight. The principles of tshuva, and I don't want to use tshuva anymore because I think when we talk about tshuva, we get kind of like spooked out about, like I did an aveira, and there's punishment, and it's bad, and it's evil, and we get very put down by it. We're going to talk about self-improvement. That's what we're going to talk about. We're talking about self-growth, working on ourselves, developing, and trying to become better people. The way it worked in the 1500s and the 1400s, the Torah is the same, the principles are the same. But the way we're going to apply it is going to be different for our generation here in 2021. So let's begin. He begins with a Gemara in Maseches Yuma that says, "Shuva Yisrael Hashem Elokecha, Gedola Tshuva Shemagas Ad Kisei HaKavod." Tshuva is so great that it goes all the way up to the Kisei HaKavod, where Hashem rests on His throne. And the Yerach HaTzadikim brings a medrash that we don't find anywhere else except here in the Yerach HaTzadikim, and it tells the following story: that when Moshe Rabbeinu went up to get the Torah from Shemayim, he passed through seven different rakiyos, seven different levels of Shemayim, different levels of heaven to get there. On the first level, he came across Malachim who would learn what happened on the first day of Maaseh Bereishis. And after they would learn that, they would praise the Klal Yisrael in the Torah. On the first level, they praised the Torah. Then Moshe went up to the second level in Shemayim, and he found Malachim there learning Torah, and they were praising Klal Yisrael after learning about the second day of creation. On the third level of Shemayim, they were learning about the third day of creation, and they were praising the holiness of Yerushalayim. On the fourth level of Shemayim, they were learning about the fourth day of creation, and they were praising Mashiach. On the fifth level of Shemayim, they were learning about the fifth day of creation, and they were talking about the intensity of Gehenim, and what happens in Gehenim. On the sixth level of Shemayim, they got to the sixth day of creation, and they were talking about Gan Eden, how amazing Gan Eden is, and how incredible, and just otherworldly, can't even describe. And when Moshe got to the seventh level, by the Kisei HaKavod, by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, they were talking about Shabbos, and the Malachim were praising the greatness of Tshuva. And that's what it means. That in the highest levels of Shemayim, the highest levels, all the way up by Hashem, the topic they talk about is Tshuva, and how amazing Tshuva is, how amazing self-improvement and self-growth is. It says in Chassidikim, there are seven things that preceded the creation of the world. The Gemara Masechem says, the Torah preceded creation because the Torah sustains the world. That's what the world is all about, is keeping the Torah. Tshuva also preceded the creation of the world because you can't keep the Torah without Tshuva. Why? Because you're gonna fall. You're gonna mess up sometimes. So how could you possibly keep the Tshuva, the Torah, if you don't have a way to fix our mistakes as we are human beings? And Gan Eden and Gehenim, Kisei HaKavod, Beis HaMikdash, and Mashiach all preceded the creation of the world, but Tshuva was there as well. So then he talks, makes a beautiful point for everybody here, and that is that it is always better to do Tshuva and to work on yourself when you're younger than when you're older. It is so much more difficult to work on yourself and to improve and to make those leaps and to become a different person when you're older. He gives seven reasons why you got to work on yourself now and not when you're older. He says the first is that Tshuva requires a lot of parts. Self-growth and development has a lot of parts to it. The Pirkei Avos, it says, V'hayom katsar, v'hapo'alim atzilim. The day is short. We have a certain amount of time in this world. It's going to end at some point, all of our time here. And the time's going to come to an end. And sometimes we get lazy. So, says the Yorcha Sadikim, work now. Why wait since when I get to Eretz Yisrael, when I'm married, when I have kids, when I have this much money, when I have that? Why? What are you waiting for? Now is when we work on ourselves. Don't wait for later on. He says, if you wait till you have money in order to change your ways for the better, you're just going to want more and more money. You're going to focus on accomplishing and growing in monetary areas, but not spiritually. He says, three, there's a lot of things to work on. We have to work on our Torah. We have to work on our Tikkun HaNefesh. We have to work on our Avos Hashem, our Yiras Shamayim, our Dveikus with the Kadosh Baruch Hu, our Emunah, all these things. So what are you going to start working on when you're 50? So what about the first 50 years? This is the time to work on these things. This is to start now. He says, the longer you wait to work on the neshama, the stronger the Yetzer Hara gets. You get more into a rut. You get more into a process. You know, you're more into, it's harder to change. This is not a statement of anybody's parents or grandparents. But think about it. We all know our parents. The older our parents get, they're set in their ways. This is the way they do things. And as you get older, it's harder to break out of that pull of the Yetzer Hara because you get more into that that cycle of how we act. He says, number five, if a person is not interested in growth in tshuva, it could be that Hashem will not give you a richas yamin, will not give you a longer life. If Hashem looks at you and says, well, I give the person all this time in this world, and they haven't improved any, so maybe they're done. Maybe they have nothing else to do. So Hashem won't give a person extra long life. So six, he says, the longer you wait, the less concerned you'll feel about your averos, because you'll be more comfortable. So, well, it can't be that bad, you know. I've been doing it for 30 years. So, like, what's the big deal? Can't be that bad. And then finally, he says, you get less schar when you do tshuva when you're older than when you're younger. Because when you're older, your yitzahara kind of, like, gets, like, weaker. You don't have such a desire to eat. You don't have such a desire to speak. You don't have such a desire for the opposite gender. And you kind of, like, you know, your yitzahara gets weaker. But when we're young and we're running after things we want to accomplish, we want to do, and we're pulled in 100 different directions, our Yitzhahara is constantly fighting with us. So he says you get more schar to fight the Yitzhahara now than you do when you're older. So those are seven reasons why we have to improve ourselves now and not wait till later on. Then he says seven things you should keep in mind in order to do tshuva. He says the first thing is you have to know what the mitzvos and the averos are. He says, you got to know what the 613 mitzvahs are. How are you supposed to do tshuva? How are you supposed to improve yourself if I don't know what's allowed and what's not allowed? Right? How many times did we have, nobody ever told that to me before. That's an Aveira. Nobody, who has to say that in the Torah? How many times do we have these conversations? So you have to learn what the 613 mitzvahs are. There are beautiful books. There's you can read through the Rambam's list of the 613 mitzvahs, but a really helpful book for nowadays is the Chafetz Chaim's Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzar. The Chafetz Chaim made a book of all of the mitzvahs that are practical nowadays. So, the Sefer HaMitzvos HaKatzar. It is, in English, it's published by Feldheim, called The Concise Book of Mitzvahs. And it's a great book to read. You could read a few pages a day and learn about all of the mitzvahs that are relevant now. Nothing about korbanos, nothing about Kohanim and Levium, all the relevant mitzvahs, and know what's a mitzvah, what's an aveira, and know exactly what Hashem wants of us at the end of the day. And the Yerucha Tzadikim goes on to list all different types of things that people don't realize are incorrect, because sometimes he says, what do people think? Tshuva is for like really bad aveiros. Like, that's what you need tshuva for. Really, really bad stuff. But like small stuff, like, yeah, whatever, like Hashem will be okay with it. You have to know what's allowed, what's not allowed. He says, number two, you have to know why violating a mitzvah is wrong. And this is so important. Why is doing a mitzvah good and why is doing an aveira bad? But do we understand what goes on in Shemayim, what goes on in the realm by HaKadosh Baruch Hu, when we do a mitzvah, we do an aveira, how it shakes the world and how it shapes the world, and our mitzvos impact the world and our aveiros impact the world? All of our mitzvos and aveiros, they impact what goes on in Shemayim and they impact what goes on in the world. Your actions, everybody here, your actions have cosmic impact and significance throughout the entire world. Then he says, you have to know that there's schar v'onus, there's reward and punishment in the world. You have to know that everything you have done and will do is recorded by HaKadosh Baruch Hu. We talk about this by El and Yom Kippur, right? And you have to know that HaKadosh Baruch Hu pays attention to you. And you have to know that tshuva is the refuah for your aveiros. Tshuva is how we cure and how we make ourselves better. He says, if you don't trust the medicine, you're going to take it, right? If the doctor says, here, take these medicines, this will cure your problems. But you're like, I don't really touch the doctor. I don't trust the doctor. He seems like a weird guy. So are you going to take the medicine?
No.
No, I'm not so sure. So you have to trust that tshuva works. You have to know that tshuva is a real thing, or else you're not going to take the medicine. And number six, he says, you should think and acknowledge that all the good things that Kadosh Baruch Hu has done for you, and to realize that Hashem loves you. And seven, you have to be strong in staying away from improper things. And make a darim. You have to make fences to make sure you don't come to do things that you know are not supposed to do. The seventh one is to make gedarim, to make fences to protect us, to make sure we don't get close to our things. No, yeah.
You say 4, 5, 6, and 7.
4, 5, 6, 7. 4 is that you have to know that your actions are recorded by Hashem. 5, you have to know that tshuva works. And then 7, you have to acknowledge that all the good things Hashem has done for you. And then 7 is you have to make gedarim. You have to make fences. For yourself, right? If a person knows that, you know, they want to eat non-kosher food, so then, you know, don't walk into such a restaurant. You can't, like, you know, you have to make fences to make sure that you do the right thing. And then he lists, it's a lot of lists in the Shar. It's a lot of lists. Don't worry. That's why you'll go back and review. He lists 20 yesodos of tshuva. 20 important things for tshuva. And he says, what goes into tshuva? He says, you have to have charata. You have to regret your actions, okay? You have to regret what you did. You have to feel bad about it. You have to have aziva sachet. You have to leave the aveira and have in mind not to do it anymore. You have to be sad about doing the wrong thing. You have to, he says you should cry. Okay, not everybody's holding at crying, but you should cry. You should worry about the punishment of the aveira. You should be ashamed in front of others about the aveira. You should have a sense of anava and humility, like David HaMelech with Nasan HaNavi, right? David HaMelech, after he sinned, and Nasan came to him and gave him Musar, David was embarrassed by what he did. He talks about having anav in your actions. A person who does tshuva speaks softly. He talks about, number 9, removing taiva for this avera, taking away the desire for it, correcting your bad ma'asim with good ma'asim. It's not enough to say to not speak Lashon Hara. We all have a desire to do what? We spoke about this last time. We all have a desire to shmooze, right? You can't just say, I'm not going to do Lashon Hara. You have to fill the vacuum with good things. You have to fill your time with good things. Okay? You have to make a cheshbon ha-nefesh. You have to look where you're holding in life. You have to learn about the onash for each avera and how severe it is to an avera. And he talks about how we should view all the averas as being severe. We don't belittle mitzvahs in the Torah. Every single thing. This is such an important yesod, he says. He says sometimes when it comes to mitzvahs and averas, we focus on eating chametz Pesach is like here, and doing Bora and Shabbos like over here. We start to rank the mitzvahs, right? It's not so bad, this one is much worse. We try to play games. He says we're missing the point. He says the point of tshuva and doing an avera is not the avera itself. It's who's telling it to you. It's Hashem. If Hashem tells you to do A or A plus or X or 2X, it doesn't matter. The point is that you're not listening to Hashem. It doesn't matter if Hashem asks you to do a big thing or a small thing. It's not like if your parents or friend ask you to do something. Your parents ask you to not forget to pick up your sister from a play date. Oops, 5 hours later, I forgot. That was really bad. That was a big thing. Versus, oops, I forgot to take out the garbage, right? Okay, there are big mistakes, there are small mistakes. Okay, not the end of the day. But he says that, by mitzvos, says the Orcha Sadikim, the issue is not, was it a big one or a small one? The issue is, HaKadosh Baruch Hu told you to do something. It's the person who's talking to you. It's not the particular issue itself. And he talks about vidur, we have to confess our averos, like we do in Yom Kippur, and davening for rachma from Hashem, and correcting all of the fallout from the avera. If you stole something, you got to return it. You can't do tshuva for stealing something and then hold on to that beautiful watch. That's not how it's going to work. Yeah.
Wait, is this being recorded?
Okay. He then adds, he says in 17, we have to run after chesed and emes. And says the Orcha Sadikim, when you pursue chesed and emes, it creates a kiddush Hashem that can protect a person from onesh, can protect a person from punishment. When you make a kiddush Hashem in the world with truth and justice, that protects a person from punishment. 18, don't forget your avera, because if you forget the averas that you do, not that you should wallow in them and be depressed, but David HaMelech says in Tehillim, Ki pashi ani eda v'chatasi negdi tamid, that I recognize that I sinned, because when we recognize that we mess up, it keeps us humble and it keeps us focused to not do it again. You don't have to pretend. Sometimes a person will behave a certain way in high school or in elementary school. They'll go to Eretz Yisrael and they'll pretend everything nothing ever happens. They're a totally different person. They were totally born this way. They came out of their mother's womb, saying Tehillim 5 hours a day and davening 2 hours Shemona Esrei's, and that's the way it was. And that's not correct. A person needs to, not that you shouldn't be necessarily be okay with the fact that a person might have done something they weren't supposed to do, but you keep the chait that you did, you keep your mistakes in front of you, and recognize, this is who I was, I'm better than this, and that's okay. And you don't have to, and just, it keeps a person on track. 19, not doing the aver the next time the opportunity arises, what we call azivas achait, and that's the highest point of tshuva. When you're in that situation again, and then you control yourself, and you don't do that avera, so then that's tshuva, right? You're in that situation, you tease a certain person, say nice things about them, and now you're in that situation where somebody serves a big softball, you could hit it out of the park. You could really, really knock the person down, and you don't. And you don't say anything. The person does something really embarrassing, you could rip into them in public in front of everybody, you don't say anything. So that's azivas achet, and that's the highest form of tshuva. What?
You did the shiva for the first time.
Yeah. If you're in that situation. What? No, you have to apologize. But when you get back to that situation again, you know that you really did shuva, you know that you really did it, and you really accomplished it. When you're in that situation with the same person in the same place, and you could do it, and you could knock them down, and you don't, so that's a sign that your shuva is complete. And then 20 is causing other people to do shuva. Inspiring other people to do shuva, motivating them to do shuva as well. And then, we're not going to go through this list, but he goes on to 24 things that prevent a person from tshuva. We're not going to go through all 24, because these can all be found in the Rambam, in Hilchos Tshuva, in Perakei. The Rambam Hilchos Tshuva, chapter 5, lists these 24 things that stop a person from doing tshuva. I'll just tell you the four general categories. He talks about things that intellectually prevent a person from doing tshuva, because their mind doesn't allow them to do tshuva. He talks about things that prevent complete tshuva because you can't find all the people you harmed. Lashon hara, things like that, where the damage is so severe that you can't possibly go and apologize to all the people that you harmed. The third category are things that people won't do tshuva for because we don't think we do anything wrong. Those are very, very severe. Where a person thinks, oh, what's the big deal? What's wrong with that? And they never do tshuva because they think they're 100% correct. And finally, the fourth category are averos that are very hard to get away from. Just averos that, like, stick to a person. Yeah.
So, you know how, like, if, like, you hurt someone's feelings, you can't say, like, but I didn't do anything wrong because, like, you hurt their feelings at the end of the day? But let's say, like, you actually did, like, let's say this girl's, like, hypersensitive. And you actually, like, you don't think that you did anything on your part, but, like, she's so offended. And you still have to do shoot her, right?
So, apologize anyway. Like, it doesn't cost you anything. Apologize. Okay, now, the Orchos Sadiqa makes a very important statement here. He says, these 24 things don't make tshuva impossible. Tshuva is always open, as we're going to see at the very end of the piece here. Tshuva is always accessible to everybody. It just makes them more difficult. And he explains we shouldn't make the mistake of thinking that only very big failings need tshuva, but we should try to correct whatever we can and do the Ratzon Hashem. Then he says, if a person sincerely wants to do tshuva, then a Kadosh Baruch Hu will give you the opportunity to make amends with those that you hurt or repay in some way that you stole. If you're sincere that you want to improve something that you did wrong, Hashem will orchestrate your life so that you will be able to do it. You'll meet the right person somewhere, it'll come up somewhere, it'll be repaid to their children, like in a generation. Hashem is going to run the world in a way that if you sincerely want to do tshuva, the people who need to get in touch with, you'll get in touch with some way. Yeah.
Like, what happens if I do something wrong? They think, yeah, what can I do? Like, I do something wrong and they want to do tshuva. Like, what's, like, the first step?
The first step of tshuva is admitting that you did something wrong. If you harmed a person, you have to ask them for forgiveness. You have to take it upon yourself to not do it again.
But you said, like, Hashem's going to put you in the way that, like, you're going to, like, find it.
Meaning, in a case where you think it's, like, not possible, like the pen example, right? How am I ever going to repay the pen? I don't know the person. Like, I'm never going to see them again. Hashem will make it that, and sometime you're going to repay that person in some way that they're going to repay back. It doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if you don't remember. But Hashem's going to orchestrate it that the person that didn't have something because of somebody's actions will get back exactly what they need from that person. Hashem will work it out.
Yeah,
you don't have to worry. You just have to do tshuva, and you don't have to do the right thing. Hashem will take care of it. Yeah.
Doing tshuva for saying lashon hara about someone, like, that's a very awkward thing for colleagues.
Yeah.
We
discussed last time. We said essentially the minhag is that you don't have to go and tell them you spoke lashon hara about them. If they know you spoke lashon hara about them, then you have to go. But if they don't know you spoke lashon hara about them, so then just, you should feel bad about it, try to say nice things about the person, try to say nice things to improve their reputation, and that's the best we can do. That's right. But if you ask for forgiveness for the person you spoke lashon hara about, you're going to hurt their feelings. You're going to hurt their feelings if you tell them that you spoke lashon hara about them. You're going to make them feel worse. Okay. Then he says something beautiful. He says that Hashem will never close the Shari Tshuva on someone who sincerely wants to enter the gates of Tshuva. And we have such beautiful psukim in Tanakh. Ki karovei lecha davar ma'od b'fichu v'vacha la'soso. We say in the end, Parshas Nitzavim, that Tshuva is close to you, it's within your mouth, it's in your heart, it's always accessible. Or uvekashtem mishav Hashem alokecha matzasa ki sidrashenu b'chol levavcha nafshecha. Hashem will bring you back when he sees that you want to come back with your heart and soul. Or like we say in Asher every day, we say, Karov Hashem l'chol karav, l'chol eshir kru be'emes. If you call to Hashem be'emes, you sincerely want to come back to Hashem, so then Hashem will be close to you, and Hashem will come back to you if you're interested. Yeah.
In Shemona Esther, wait, you know how you said that, like, when you would die, then if you did teshuva, then, like, it's not accounted for? But, like, in, like, Shemona Esther every day, you're saying, like, slach.
Yeah.
So, like, does that mean that, like,
slach lanu is only effective if you're actually doing tshuva. But if you're just, like, you know, moving on, then...
No, but, like, I say, you're like, I'm sorry for all the errors that I did or whatever. Then, like, do you still get counted for it?
It has to be sincere.
But then it's not counted for it.
Okay, so that's a general statement of Hashem in that when you say slach lanu, you're not saying Hashem, now I want my slate clean for everything I did. What you're saying is, Hashem, in my process, in my tshuva process, in my process of self-growth and improvement, please, Hashem, accept what I'm trying to do. It's a general statement about me as a person as I'm trying to grow and to do tshuva.
Wait,
no, it is, but you can't fix all your sins in 15 seconds in Shmoneh Esrei. Right? What we're saying is that Hashem, please help me in whatever my self-growth and my self-improvement process is throughout my life and my day. Hashem, please help me in that process. Mm-hmm. That's what it is.
So when are we supposed to do tshuva?
Whenever you can.
No, you're saying it's not just by davening, and like you should do more times than just...
So we're going to discuss that in a moment. Well, we'll discuss that, yeah.
Let's say you're working on tshuva, and not tshuva, you're working on not speaking lashon hara. Let's say you're in a car, and everyone's talking about people, and you don't do anything to stop it, or you say, guys, lashon hara, let's stop, and nobody does anything about it, they just keep talking.
Yeah.
Like,
if you said something, so then you did your job. But you said something.
You weren't. You said something.
You said something.
Well, aren't you?
If you said something, you did your job. If you sit there and they're still talking, so then your job is to simply say that I'm not going to believe what they're saying. I'm not going to believe what they're saying. They don't know the whole story. They don't know the whole thing. I didn't say it was easy. But it's your job is to say that they don't know the whole story, they don't know the whole picture. You know, maybe there's another side to it, but they don't know everything that's going on.
Aren't you not supposed to tell people not to speak Russian?
It depends on the people. It depends if they're going to accept it or not. It depends. You have to know the people you're talking to. So then the Aruch HaTzaddikim writes something very, very beautiful. He says that a Kadosh Baruch Hu does us a great favor by creating for us a path to run from darkness to light. And that's what tshuva is. Tshuva is a path to go from darkness to light. The path to tshuva is never closed, no matter what, says the Aruch HaTzaddikim. Everybody can improve, everybody can become better. And Hashem helps those who desire to do tshuva, to actually do tshuva, even if it's an area where it would be unnatural for you to succeed. He writes something wild. He says, even if you're trying to attain a level that would naturally be way beyond what you think you could become, if you sincerely come before Hashem and say, I want to be better, Hashem will give you that push to get there. Hashem will make it happen. If you really want to get there, he says, Hashem will allow you to be masing to attain those things you want. There are some things. We're going to talk about Chil Hashem. Chil Hashem is something you can't. We're going to explain why. There's going to be a whole section of Chil Hashem.
What if you overcame something and you did tshuva from it, but then you do it again?
So the Aruch HaTzaddikim says, 100 times, get back into it. Doesn't matter. 100 times, you get back into it. The first time was still effective, for sure. He says four things that can bring a person to tshuva. Four things in life that can inspire a person to come to tshuva. He says the first thing is thinking about a Kadosh Baruch and all the good he's given you. That a person thinks and says, wow, why am I behaving this way when Hashem has been so nice to me, when Hashem has been so good to me? Why am I behaving this way? He says number two, he says, okay. He says number two is if somebody, gives you mussar. Somebody tells you you're doing the wrong thing. Somebody gives you tochacha. A person says in a serious way, you're making a mistake, you got to turn your life around, you got to be better. And a person, instead of being cynical and saying, you don't know me, leave me alone, you stop bothering me, the person says, maybe this person who's talking to me, has a point. Number three is seeing others who suffer because of their averas. People who made poor life decisions and seeing how their life turned out. And you saying to yourself, I don't want to end up like that person. And that's another thing that puts a person on the right path. And then finally is someone who has received onesh, who has received difficulties in their life, makes a cheshbon ha-nefesh, sees for themselves, maybe I need to fix who I am, and they start on a new path. So those are four ways that kind of spark a person to go in the right direction. And then he talks about six motivations. These are similar to the four, but he talks about six motivations for a person to do tshuva. He says, first of all, when a person has yisurin, a person has difficulties, trauma in life, they begin to think if there's a purpose to these events, and that HaKadosh Baruch Hu wants them to change what they're doing. Now, this is different than other human beings. Usually, when someone's in a bad situation because of their choices, we say, we don't want to help them out. Right? Now, that person made a terrible choice. Why should I help them out? They made their bed, they have to sleep in it. You know, it's their fault. But HaKadosh Baruch Hu is different. HaKadosh Baruch Hu says, oh, you guys made a terrible choice? Here, and he puts out a hand and says, let me help you out of there. Hashem's different. We are kind of like vindictive, petty human beings. And when people mess up, we're like, oh, it's their fault. You know, they'll have to deal with it. Hashem says, oh, you messed up because you didn't listen to what I told you to do? And he extends a hand and he pulls us out. And he says, I want to help you out. And I want to help you in tshuva. And he says, if a person doesn't do tshuva during times of difficulty, then it's twice as bad. Because Hashem is sending you a message and you're ignoring it while he's sending you a message. And that's even worse.
How do you know what it's for?
So that a person needs to do a cheshvan hanafesh. A person needs to do a cheshvan hanafesh.
I can't figure that out.
So the Gemara says, the Gemara in Bracha Staf Hei says the following. The Gemara in Bracha says, if a person has yisurin difficulties, so then they should make a cheshvan hanafesh. They should be mefash pesh b'ma'asav. Look at their actions to see where they're holding. And he says that, the Gemara says that if you look at your actions and you see that you are 100% perfect and you have nothing wrong with you, then you can say that it's bittul Torah. And if it's not, and if you have no bittul Torah, then you can say it is yisurin shel ahava.
What's bittul Torah?
Bittul Torah means that you could have time to learn Torah, and you're not. You're wasting it doing other things. And then the Gemara says, if it's not that, it's yisurin shel ahava. What's yisurin shel ahava? It means that Hashem will give a person difficulties in this world so that they'll have more olam haba. Meaning, Hashem's kind of, well, like a kapara here, so that you won't have to go to Gehenna or things like that. That you'll go straight to Olam Haba. So now let's be honest. Do we know for sure that we have nothing wrong with us? We have nothing to improve upon? So whatever it is, somebody has something to work upon. How do I know if it's exactly that thing and this difficulty in my life means that it's this specific Avera? I don't know. I don't know if we can know. But whenever a person, now this is, I hope this is obvious, but we're saying anyway. This is between you and Hashem. This is not between you and other people. If your friend, you know, gets in a car accident, you don't go over to them and say, well, you know, maybe you should make sure you're ready for a Shabbos on time. That's not your place to say that. That's not your place. That you, between you and Hashem, you decide what you need to work upon. We assume that our friends are tzaddik, and we assume that our friends are righteous, and we have to work on ourselves, and that's how we go about it.
Yeah,
everyone.
How do you know which it is?
So pick something.
Well, I don't know.
So pick something. We don't know for sure. You can't know for sure. Sometimes a person just sees with clarity. It's totally mida connected mida. It's obvious. It was at this person with this thing, and it was this event and this point in my life, and it was clear. And sometimes we can't. And a person just needs to look inside and say, where can I be better? How can I improve? Hashem is always speaking to us. Hashem is always talking to us in how we interact with the world. The question is, are our ears and eyes open to listen to those messages? But Hashem is constantly speaking to each and every one of us, all the time. Sometimes it's with a lesson, and sometimes we don't get the chinuch, we don't get the message, it's with the harder, you know, push. Hashem needs to get our attention more.
What?
In, correct. There is a message there somewhere. What is it? I'm not a Navi. I can't tell you. But everyone needs to walk away from these events of the last few weeks, whether it's Lag Bar Meiron, or whether it's the rockets in Eretz Yisrael. Everyone needs to walk away with some feeling of, I can do better. I can improve. I can't be the same person and walk away from those events. There needs to be something that's going to change at the end of the day. He talks about a person often does tshuva when they see their life is winding down, because they see their days are numbered. A person gets older, they look back and they say, what did I accomplish? What happened with my life? We talked about in the beginning, don't wait for that to happen when you get older. A person should not wait to that time. They should wait to do it earlier in life. He talks about one who hears mussar from a person, and your heart is woken up to make a change in your life. The very act of the thought of change or being makabel on yourself even gives you schar. Even when you say, even if you didn't do a single thing, even if you just said, Hashem, I want to be better. Just thinking that already gives you schar from Hashem. just wanting to be better, even if you didn't actually change anything. He mentioned as well, when you learn Torah, the words of the Navi speaks to you, you hear a shir, you hear an idea from a Gemara or a Chazal, and that speaks to you, and that awakens a person as well to do tshuva. You know, Yoshio HaMelech, we know he was read the Torah when he was the new king, and they opened up to the Tochacha, and it read all these terrible things that have happened to Klal Yisrael, and Yoshio HaMelech started this tshuva movement that changed, you know, the history of the Jewish people in Eretz Yisrael, because he read a pasuk in the Torah and it spoke to him. So sometimes you read something that speaks to you and it wakes you up. He talks about Aseres Yemei Tshuva as a time where people do tshuva. Aseres Yemei Tshuva, when we're aware of the Sifrei Chaim and the Sifrei Mesim, you know, we take it seriously. These are times as well that should inspire us to do tshuva. And then finally, which is not the most fun, but there is a place for this, and that is thinking about the Yom HaMisa. Thinking about the fact that there's a time when the Neshama leaves this world. And it's not something we want to become depressed about, and not something we want to ruin our day with, but a person should be aware that our time in this world is finite, and that there's going to come a time where our neshama moves on to the next world, and we have to work while we're here, and to be conscious of that. So those are a number of different things that can motivate a person towards self-improvement. Now, I'm going to say the next things very lightly. These are the most intense pieces. He has a section here called Four Types of Tshuva. And these types of tshuva are taken from the Hasidei Ashkenaz. The Hasidei Ashkenaz were very pious people who lived in Germany in the 12th and the 13th century. And they had very extreme types of tshuva. One is called Tshuvas Haba'ah, which is a tshuva, again, where you're in the same situation as before, you overcome it with your desire to not sin, and you control yourself. The Tshuvas HaGeder, which is you make a geder, you make a fence to not sin, in your personal struggles. The Tshuvas HaMishkal is when you stay away from all different types of pleasures. A person doesn't eat, they fast, or they don't sleep, or things like that. These are very extreme things. Or Tshuvas HaKasuf, if a person did an Aveira, he caused himself to suffer by fasting. Sometimes they would give... We don't do that nowadays. Fasting is a form of tshuva. What? This is called a Tshuvas HaKasuf. Tshuvas HaKasuf is where you find that Aveira in the Torah, and you look at the punishment that the Torah has, and like you try to like, you know, you try to like reenact it, so to speak, like in your mind. In those, by Hasid Ashkenaz, they would sometimes give like very light, like malchus, like lashes to each other. It was very, very extreme type of tshuva. Again, we're not recommending, do we think it's a nice thing nowadays to do it? But this is what he's referencing. And he says that, and he says as well, and he makes a beautiful point here. This is not the issue right here. But he talks about, like somebody asked before, you can go and do tshuva as many times as you need. There's no reason ever to get up. 100 times you fall down, get up again. You know, there's the famous tshuva of Menashe. Everybody knows, not Menashe, the son of Yosef. Menashe the king. Everybody know who Menashe the king was? So Menashe the king was the worst king in the history of Klal Yisrael. Terrible, terrible stuff. It was 33 years of peace in Eretz Yisrael because he sold out to every single Avodah Zarah and every single other nation. No Goyim came to attack Eretz Yisrael, but Avodah Zarah was everywhere, and people were killed for not worshiping Avodah Zarah. At the end of his life, in the middle of his life, after 33 years, he was captured by the king of Bavel, and he was about to be killed. And the Medrash tells the craziest story. The Medrash tells the story that he's sitting, I think they were going to like boil him. They were going to like do something really bad, they were going to kill him in a very terrible way. And he's sitting there, and he's going through all of his Avodah Zarahs. He's like going through his phone, his contacts, like going through all of his different Avodah Zarahs. And he's, this Avodah Zarah help me, this Avodah Zarah help me, this Avodah Zarah, and nothing's helping him. And he's going through everything. And finally he's like, yeah, like I remember my dad, he used to have this like God who was like the God of like all gods, and like he was really powerful. And then Menashe says the following thing. He says, like, Hashem, like if you're like a real thing or like whatever, like I'm sorry about everything, like maybe you'll forgive me. Like the worst tshuva ever. Like the worst tshuva ever. Like such a chutzpahdik. Like if you even exist, like maybe you could help me. And then that tefillah escapes his mouth, and the Medrash describes how it is shooting up towards Shemayim, towards the Kisei HaKavod. And this tefillah is rocketing towards Hashem, and Hashem is ready to be makabel this tshuva. And the Malachim see this tefillah of Yoshiyahu, this very weak, weak tshuva coming up towards the Kisei HaKavod. And they build a wall, so to speak. Whatever this means, they build a wall to block it from getting to the Kisei HaKavod. because it's such a chutzpah. Like Hashem, if you exist, like maybe you'll do tshuva for me. But like, I don't even believe in you, but like, whatever. And it's rocking, and they build this wall to stop it. And the Medrash describes this image that HaKadosh Baruch Hu dug a tunnel under the wall so that it could come through. Again, it's all imagery, but what it represents, that it could come through underneath the wall and come to the Kisei HaKavod. And the Malachim say, why did you do that? How could you accept such a chutzpahdik, disgusting tshuva? It's like nothing. And he says, because I want people to see that if I accept a tshuva like that, then I'll accept your tshuva. If I'll accept such a repentance that's so shvach and so weak, then you guys can do better than that. You can definitely do better than Menashe, the king, and I'll accept that. Because HaKadosh Baruch Hu didn't want it to ever be that someone should say, like, ah, it's too bad. I can never do tshuva for that. I'm too far away. Hashem said, if I'll take Menashe's tshuva, the worst king in Klal Yisrael, with the worst type of tshuva, then I'll take anybody's tshuva. Okay. He talks about nowadays that we're weaker than the times of Chachmei Ashkenaz. We can't handle or grow from fasting or these types of things. So he talks about learning Torah as a form of kapara, being engaged in chesed and emes, as we talked about, being osek b'tzarchei tzibor, working for the community, getting involved in communal things, working on behalf of the klal is a great form of tshuva. Davening with kavana is a good form of tshuva as well. Don't speak about wasteful things. Being humble, being an anav, and having times to sit alone to think about Hashem, to meditate on Emuna, to contemplate Hashem, the greatness of Hashem, having a relationship with Hashem, all of these things are important parts of tshuva. Now, there's a big section we're going to skip right now. Essentially, he lists like 25 terrible, terrible averos and how to do tshuva for them. They are so terrible, I'm not going to even mention them. And what? The least worst one is Lashon Hara. What? No. Okay. It doesn't relate to you. Okay. It doesn't relate to anybody. Okay. So then comes Chil Hashem. And he has a very big chiddush. We often think, what's Chil Hashem? What's Chil Hashem? You're going to make the Jewish people look bad, you're going to make the Torah look bad, right? He says he has an interesting pshat. This is the Orchos Sadikim's own pshat in Chil Hashem. He says that a Chil Hashem means that if you act in a way where people learn not to be careful in halacha, even though technically you weren't doing anything wrong, but they'll see you, and they'll see based on your actions, and they won't be careful in halacha, then that's a Chil Hashem.
Like even towards Jews?
Yeah.
Especially towards Jews.
Could
you give an example of
that? You wake up in the morning and somebody turns to you and you decide, I'm not going to daven today. Okay? I'm not going to daven today. And your friend says, you have a friend who's not naive, sincerely asks you and says, you know, you're not going to daven today? I'm like, no, I don't have to daven. And your friend says, well, you don't have to daven? Okay, so I don't doubt it today. So your action just created somebody else to not doubt it. That's a Chil Hashem.
That's the exact example I gave in the book, A Life Worth Living.
Yeah. No.
Oh, it's about Kiddush Hashem.
Ah, so there you go.
Maris Ayin be a Chil Hashem.
Maris Ayin be a form of Chil Hashem, yeah. 100%. Yeah. Yeah. Gemara in Kedushin says tells us the following. Amar Rav Elai HaZaken, Im Roa Adam SheYitzro Misgaber Olav. You see a person whose Yitzer Hara is overcoming them. Yelech Lamakum She'ein Makir Noso. You should go to a place where they don't recognize you. VeYilbash Shechorim, and dress in black clothing. VeYiskasa Shechorim VeYasak Moshli B'Chafetz, and do what you want. VeAl Yechal Shem Shemayim B'Farhesya. But don't make a Chil Hashem in public. This Gemara is confounding for many of the Rishonim. What's the Gemara telling us? If you know you're going to do an Avera, go somewhere else where nobody knows you, like put on clothing so nobody can recognize you, and do it. And just do the Avera. Just don't do it in public, right?
If you're going to do it privately.
What?
Like, what?
That's what the Gemara seems to be saying.
No,
the
Gemara, that makes sense. You don't want anyone to see him and think it's okay.
Then you're not like, it doesn't make sense.
So, but is the Gemara giving us a heter to do averos here?
No.
So Rabbeinu Chananel says. So that the pashut shot is yes. If you read simply, the Gemara is saying if you're doing avera, like this is like hilchos avera. Like if you're gonna do an avera, this is the way to do it. So Rabbeinu Chananel says. Good. So Rabbeinu Chananel says there is no heter here to sin. He says that dressing in black, dressing in a certain way, and going to like somewhere else, going to like galus, like a personal galus, so like go away from your friends and you go away by yourself, that will hopefully break your desire and prevent the person from sinning. And then what it means is when the Gemara says that you'll do kemo shalibo chafetz, you'll do as your heart desires, what it means is, once you break the Itzahara, then your true desire will come out. Then you'll be a real human being. You won't be pulled away by the Itzahara. And you'll have proper intentions, because the Itzahara is not going to control you. So, but you have to be so careful not to do things in public. And the way you do tshuva for Chil Hashem is to go in public and to tell people not to learn from the way you behaved, because you did the wrong thing.
Yeah,
that's how you do tshuva. There's no way other way to do tshuva for Hashem. Okay. You can just daven for the best and ask Hashem to forgive you.
So I should like get up in front of my shul and be like, oh.
But if you ate somewhere not kosher, I should like literally, hey guys, don't eat there.
One second. Let's just come to it. Now let's finish the shar and we'll talk about the almost at the end of the shar. And then we'll talk about the details. Okay. He finishes and he says, talks about that ta'anis, that fasting is an important part of tshuva. Somebody wants to fast if they feel it's appropriate. That's part of tshuva. But again, I would only do that under asking a shayla and making sure it's the right thing for you. And vidui is, you know, the verbalizing of your avera and the clapping al chait, like some people do after at the end of davening and things like that. And then let's just end with this last piece of chizuk for us in tshuva and self-improvement. And he makes the following thing. I'll read from the last piece. He says, "V'al yachshav bal tshuva shu meruchak mimalos ha-tshuva." A person who's a bal tshuva should not think that they are far away from high levels of tshuva. V'nei ha-chata'im avanos sh'asa, because of the mistakes that you've done. Ein ha-davar kein tzir chasadikim. There's no such thing as being too far away. Elohu ahav v'nichman lefnei ha-bor yisparach. You are beloved and you are treasured by Hashem. Kilu lo chait ma'olam, as if you never sinned. Volo od el shischaro harbe. Your reward is great when you do tshuva. Hare tam tam chait, because you tasted what it was like to do the wrong thing. Upirish mimeno, bekavish yitzro, and you got away from that, and you conquered your yetzahara. Va'amru chacham, and the Gemara in Bracha says, b'makom shabal tshuva omdim, where bale tshuva stand in the eyes of Hashem, ein tzadikim gemurim yichom lam abo. Even a perfect tzaddik cannot reach as high as a bal tshuva. Kolomar, Ma'alsim gadol mimalasim sha'il sha'ilchatum olam. Even a person who never sinned is not as great as a person who does tshuva. Because you had to work harder. The perfect tzaddik who never does anything wrong, they didn't have to work. They came easy to them. Hashem gave them a way of life, gave them a neshama that it was easy for them to do the right thing. But a person who was in such a difficult situation and fought back and got to where they are now, they're in a much higher place than a perfect tzaddik, because they had to overcome and to fight and to struggle.
Is that not true, then?
What? I would agree with you, except for the Gemara and Brachos disagrees.
No, it's not. Like, people always think that, like, yeah, about tshuva, like, obviously it's higher because whatever, but he's like, it's not because a regular like guy that like didn't, like, he doesn't know what like that is. He doesn't know what's like on the other side. But, like, someone who did that, like, knows that it's, like, not happiness and that, yeah, like, following Hashem. So, like, he, like, knows that, like...
But the Yorcha Sadikim says... Ma'alasim gadol ma'alasim. Their level is higher.
Isn't that why we get to sort out the angels? Like, we have...
We have Yitzhara. We have to work on it. Yeah, 100%. It could be. I just have the Orchis Sikhim. He's a Risha.
But do you get what I'm saying?
Yeah, I...
So you're saying, like, a post-Sem girl is better than a girl who comes from, like, New Square? Who's, like, born and raised in New
Square? Everybody has their own... Everybody has their own... Everybody has their own struggles, their own things. Each person.
I'll say after.
Okay. Then he concludes and says that the Gula, Mashiach, will only come through tshuva, and when we do tshuva, at the end of Gullus, immediately we'll see the Gula. If we keep on doing tshuva, it will bring the Gula. And he says, Gedola tshuva shemekareves es ha'adam l'shchina. Tshuva is so great that it brings a person close to Hashem, and it causes those who feel distant from Hashem to come close. And then he concludes with the following point. He says, if someone ever reminds you about how you behaved in the past, you should ignore them, don't respond to them, don't say anything, and you should smile and be happy in your zechuyos of what you accomplished and what you became, and don't fight back, don't make a big deal, keep quiet and smile, and know what you've become and how you've become a better person. Okay? So we'll take...